And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690K GGF Kyle High with you this morning. I hope you are having a fantastic day. Currently outside, it is 34 degrees, cloudy. We're not going to get much higher than that today. A high of just 37. And joining us in studio this morning, as she is here every Tuesday, is Lisa Wilson from the Independence Chamber of Commerce. And good morning, Lisa. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing well. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to see you here. And a few things going on in Indy, including this morning, as a few food distribution will be starting at around 10 o'clock this morning.
That's right. So this morning's conversation is going to start with conversations around the park, and then we're going to end it at the park. So this morning we have park activity, which will take place at 10 o'clock. It is the Free Farm Food Commodities, sponsored by Harvest House of Sevry and the USD 446. So it's this morning. People need to remember it's at 10 o'clock. You need to line up. There is no income requirement. Food boxes will be distributed in the park oval. The way to get in line would be to go down Penn Avenue, and the first street that is just north of the cemetery is Morningside. So you'll turn right there, which would be east, and you'll go down Morningside to 5th Street, which is the street that runs right along Kittyland and the cemetery wall on the other side. And you'll get on 5th Street and you'll go down, you'll pass Kittyland, you'll pass the zoo kind of entrance area. And then right at the stadium, that's where the road will turn, and you'll continue in, and it'll bring you past like miniature golf and then into the park oval. And we do it that way to keep people out of city traffic and highly traveled roads so that we don't have to block those off. So everyone will come in, the barricades will be moved around 10 o'clock. The cars will be coming in. You don't get out of your car. You'll pop the trunk. You'll open up the back door, or we will open up the back door. And most of the families will be given one to two, possibly three boxes of food. Depends on how many boxes we get on the semi. Will depend on how many that we pass out. Typically, we've been giving out two and three because the last thing we want is to have food left over. We want to deplete it, but we also do not want to leave anyone out. So if you are there, we want to make sure that we give boxes. So it's a juggling act. So everyone needs to extend the volunteers a little grace because it's hard. We don't know how many cars are in line. And so we start out giving everyone, you know, do you need two? Do you need three? Because maybe you have a family member who, or, you know, a child, an adult child or a grandparent that is at work and can't get there. Maybe they don't have a car, so you're taking food to other people. So we're popping two and three in your car, and then we look over and the line is continuing to be strong, and we're fearful that we're going to run out. So then we back off to just two, and then the line dwindles down and we're like, oh my goodness, we still have plenty of food. So then we go back up to three. So again, just know that it's for every single person in the community. And get in line. If you need assistance with that, you can give us a call at the chamber office, and we'll do our best to potentially hold a box and maybe deliver to you if you're someone that can't get out and you're at work for whatever reason and can't get there. We've tried to do that the past couple of food distribution days, and it's worked well. So that, again, is at the Riverside Park Oval at 10 o'clock today. And if you have more information about that, you can call the chamber office. Even this morning, we'll open up at 8:30 at 331-1890.
And also today, with it being Tuesday, it's time for recycling.
It is. So every Tuesday, as we always talk about, from 11 to 1 at the Sanitation Yard at 21st and Maple, you can drop off all your recyclables. You can also drop off all your junk, your appliances, your furniture, your building items, whatever you need to get rid of as well. And then on Thursday, the city offers that again from 8 to 2. And then on the first Saturday of the month from 8 to noon, you can drop off your recyclables as well as those other bulky items that I mentioned. The flyer that tells everyone what qualifies for recycling is on our website. So be sure and check that out for all the items that are yes items and all the items that are no items. And then also I'm looking for volunteers. So the city staffs the Sanitation Yard Recycling Center on the first Saturday of the month. But it is helpful to have a couple of volunteers. So if you want to be a husband and wife team or a civic organization or your business wants to get out and do some team building. We only need about anywhere between 2 and 3, 4 at the max volunteers. But it's a lot of fun. You see a lot of people. It's safe. We mask up. You're not coming into close contact with anyone. So if you're interested in volunteering, again, give us a call at the chamber at 331-1890 and we'll get you signed up.
And there is an event coming up on Thursday at the Apricot Lane Boutique.
That's right. So we have a lot of things happening this week. You know, typically this time of year, you think, oh my goodness, it's January, it's slow, there's nothing going on. And as you're going to find out in a little bit when I talk about all the events that are happening in the community, Independence is staying busy. So there's actually about 3 things going on Thursday. So
very busy night.
I know. So Apricot Lane is having a special sale if you are a member of the Chamber of Commerce in Independence Main Street. So I say that because if your business or if your employer is a member of the Chamber of Commerce, then so are you, and you benefit from that as well as if your employer is a member of Main Street. So for instance, Standard Motor Products, who employs a tremendous amount of people in town, is a member of the Chamber of Commerce. Therefore, all of their employees would qualify for what I'm about to say. So on Thursday evening from 5 to 8, all members can go to Apricot Lane and they'll receive 20% off their entire purchase. So it's a super awesome way to take advantage of some great sales at Apricot Lane. And this offer is just valid for Chamber members and Main Street members, their business owners, and their employees. So be sure and check that out. So go shopping, get off work, head downtown, and go into Apricot Lane. Let them know that where you work, and they will let you know if they are a Chamber member or Main Street member, and then you can just have at it. Shop till you drop. Take advantage of that 20% off. And if shopping is not your thing, but you want to try out some great beer, you can go to the brewery. You know, we talk about trivia night every Thursday. So Indie Brew Works is having trivia night at the brewery. It starts at 6:30, so you can check that out. And also go like their Facebook page, because I've noticed that they're going to be doing a Valentine's Day t-shirt in just a little bit, I think. I don't know if it's been launched yet, but anyway, they have some really cool clothing and things that are in the brewery that you can purchase, and some special t-shirts from time to time. So check out their Facebook page so you don't miss out on the opportunity to buy the Valentine's Day t-shirt if you're a collector of those. And then the museum is opening their exhibit. It's the one we've been talking about for the past few weeks. It's the Crossroads Change in Rural America exhibit, and it'll open on Thursday as well. And then the exhibit as well as the museum is open Tuesdays through Saturdays, 10 to 4. And then you'll always want to go check out their Facebook page for a lot of the other programming that they have available. And they do have a lot of programming that is coming up. You can watch our Facebook page to take advantage of those programs that we're helping them promote. So go to their Facebook page and you'll see all the things that they have listed that you can participate in.
Yeah, they got a few, like there's a small business conference coming up and also a virtual exhibit tour also coming up on the 28th as well. So a lot of things going on there, a book discussion, a family yoga, water energy in rural Kansas, a lot of things going on there.
Yeah, so, and they do a really good job of keeping their Facebook up to date and their website. So be sure if you're looking for some things to do, you know, we're still trying to do things safe and still get out and about. And a lot of them are virtual. You'll see on the flyer that they have, as you mentioned, the small business conference. It's actually tomorrow. That's a virtual experience. And they have some book discussions and some other things going on. So yes, lots happening at the library and the museum.
Absolutely. And then coming up Wednesday and Friday, are you ready for some basketball? Because that's we got some ICC basketball coming up.
That's right. So Wednesday, that's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yes. So Wednesday, the Pirates will take on Barton County, and the women will play at 5, and the men's game starts at 7. And then again, they will take on Northwest Tech on Friday. And you can check out both games at IndyPirates.com. It's online. You can't go out to the gymnasium right now, but you sure can cheer on the Pirates and watch them play online again at IndyPirates.com, and follow the ICC basketball team as they make their way through basketball season. And then that takes us to, you know, I was saying at the very beginning about how typically this is a slow time of year, but we've got a lot of hunters that have been in the community. So we're really excited about that because it's bringing a lot of economy to Independence. So a couple weeks ago, we had the Bird Hunters United championship in town. There were over 100 hunters. So they're bringing their families, their kids, they're staying in the hotels, they're eating in the restaurants, shopping downtown, having a great time and enjoying all the great hunting available in the area. So they were in town. Then last weekend we had a waterfowl group that they were all in town. They were at the Memorial Hall for an event that they had, and they were also staying in the hotels. So that was definitely an economy driver. And then this Friday, we've got a couple of different things. We're welcoming the Kansas Hunters to town for the National Upland Classic Series Kansas State Championship. And this one will be held out at Remington Ranch, just north of town at 3974 East County Road 5050. And I give that address because spectators are welcome. So if you want to get out and enjoy checking out some quality bird dogs, then you'll want to check out the NUX event. And then also at the Civic Center, the American Legion will be holding their Midwinter Forum, and that will be the American Legion, the American Legion Auxiliary, and the Sons of the American Legion. And they're expecting a pretty solid group of people as well. Anywhere between 75, 85 people will be there. And then they're also staying in the hotels, eating in the restaurants, shopping downtown, having a great time out at the Legion Post 139. So we just want to welcome them to our community, and we want to thank them for their service and sacrifice.
Turn my mic back on. And also, we got to save the date for an opportunity to learn some life-saving skills as Indy Saves is offering a free CPR education class and certification. And we've talked about this the past couple of weeks, and it's definitely a very, very important thing to do. Again, I got to re-up my certification at some point. I got it back in college, and yeah, that was a long time ago. So probably could use a refresher course.
That's right. So that opportunity Saturday the 20th out at Indy Fitness. Takes a couple hours to go through the training, 9:30 to 11:30. You can sign up by calling 331-8096 or emailing indysavescpr@gmail.com. And if you miss any of that information, you can always give us a call at the chamber office. But as you mentioned, it is a great opportunity. This is the second one. They offered one on the 23rd, and now this last one for the winter months will be on February the 20th, so you don't want to miss out on that life-saving skill.
And, of course, you were talking about the National Upland Classic Series come to Kansas. Well, Pheasants Forever, they're having a Bird Dog Classic.
They are, and this is kind of a save-the-date, too, and a shout-out in case you're interested in competing. So the Pheasants Forever Bird Dog Classic will be in town on February the 13th and the 14th, again out at Remington Ranch. And this event is dedicated to the conservation of pheasants, quail, and other wildlife through habitat improvements, public awareness, education, land management, policies, and programs. So if you're interested in more information on how to enter this hunting competition, you can call Ed Holland, and I'll give you his number. It's 816-810-9535. Or Jeremy Appleby, and he actually lives in Independence. His number is 620-830-4138. And if you happen to be driving going, holy moly, I can't write and drive at the same time, again, you can always call us at the office. I'll give you those numbers.
And also another save the date. This one, I remember from last year. It's really exciting, and it's coming back again this year. The Kansas Airstrip Attack.
That's right. So it's going to be here before we know it. I'm looking at the calendar, and it's going to be the first Friday next week for February. I don't have any idea how we got there.
Yeah, January just has flown by. I was talking yesterday. I was like, can you believe this same time next week we will actually be in February.
I know.
It's wild to think about. And it's actually 1 week till my birthday. So
really, what's your birthday?
February 2nd, Groundhog Day.
Oh, right.
So everybody is always like, "Did you see your shadow?" I'm like, "Yeah, six more weeks of winter." So,
well, winter is going to pass by quickly because it's going to be spring, and it's the Kansas airstrip attack. You mentioned April 17th and 18th. So again, it's never too soon to push that information out to the community, because a couple things. We want you to check out their Facebook page at Kansas Airstrip Attack. You'll also see a connection to Shift Sector. You'll want to like their Facebook page as well, so you can start following it. You can start learning more about what Kansas Airstrip Attack really is, or just in general, the Airstrip Attack, which is a half-mile side-by-side drag racing of high-performance race cars. So these cars are Lamborghinis and Porsches and Ferraris and all kinds of amazing, exotic sports cars that are going to land themselves right on the strip out at the municipal airport this spring. They will be going at, speeds of 190, 200 miles an hour. There's motorcycles that are doing the same things. It's absolutely crazy. You were there.
Yeah, they're flying down the track. You got guys going 160, 170 miles per hour, and I'm just like, I get nervous when I go 80.
Yeah, yeah, so, and try it on a motorcycle. That's when I really got nervous.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're going to be doing that, and you'll want to get your tickets. I was talking to Jason Wong, one of the owners of the organization, and he was saying, and I think I mentioned this last week, that registration is already beyond where it was last year when we did that. Well, it was last year, but it was just in the summertime. And we still have, a little less than 90 days to go. So they're really expecting a lot of drivers. They're expecting a good crowd. It is an outdoor event, so it's safe. In the middle of COVID-19.
Easily spread out pretty easily, because, again, like I said, it was out there last year. Everybody was spread out real nicely, so you don't have to worry about that.
And this event will be no different. And then in addition to the airstrip attack, the performance car racers, they're going to have roll racing. So we talked about this a little bit last week. So roll racing is when you, instead of starting from a complete stop and racing, you get to go about 40 miles an hour at a little roll, and then I guess tromp on it and go as fast as you can down the airstrip, half mile. These are actually 16 of the nation's top street racers. They usually do it probably illegally out on the interstate. So we're going to bring them to Kansas, and we're going to do it legally on the airstrip. And we're excited because these cars range from 1,800 to 3,000 horsepower. So there are some amazing vehicles that we will be able to see in action. And then the last thing I want to tell you about that is, because there are going to be hundreds of people out there spectating and experiencing the Kansas Airstrip Attack, it's a great way to showcase your business. And the owners have extended a benefit. The chamber has really worked hard to help them promote their event. So they're helping us back, and they're letting our chamber members set up booth space out at the event completely free. You just have to buy a ticket to get in, and then you can set up your booth space. You can show your wares from your store. If you have anything that you sell or do that is in connection with maybe cars, you can set up a booth and showcase that. You can be out there with a food truck. You can, it's just an opportunity to really showcase what we have in our community. So I'm reaching out to our car dealerships, trying to get them to come out, our stores in downtown that might benefit from being out there, some of our entrepreneurs that can get in front of people. So it's a great opportunity. So if you're interested in securing booth space for absolutely nothing except the price of a ticket, you're going to be there anyway.
And that's huge savings right there for them. Yeah. I mean, because hopefully they'll be able to make that up pretty quickly. So
yeah. And you just never know. I mean, who you might come into contact with and what connections you might make and what a difference it could have on your business. So don't let that slip by you. Make sure that you take advantage of that booth space if you know, if you're interested and you're a chamber member, so let me know.
All right, and a few more things here before we do get out of here. Of course, we talked to last week to Sergeant Hunsucker, talking about backing the blue. They're working to raise between $14,000 to $25,000 for a new canine. DQ, of course, Dairy Queen donated the first 10, which was $1,400. So far, they've raised quite a bit of money.
They have. So I was on the phone with Jeremy yesterday and Chad Richenberger, who is really helping the cause, really out, boots on the ground. He's out talking to all of the area businesses, working hard to raise these funds. And we appreciated the airtime last week to put Jeremy on so that people could hear this message. So it's important that we step up and help the sheriff's department right now. So sometimes there are things that businesses, organizations, departments like this that need that fall beyond the scope of the budget. And drug dogs, patrol dogs seem to be one of those items. And they're asking for our support by being able to donate to the Canine Project. So as Jeremy said, they're needing some new drug dogs. They'll have the first dog costs around $15,000, I believe. And that dog will be a dual purpose dog. It'll be a patrol and it will be a narcotics dog, drug dog. And then the second one that they're hoping to get, if they can raise about $24,000, will be a narcotics only dog. So somebody was asking me the other day, we were talking about donating, and they said, well, our business is in the city, so, you know, we're not going to donate to that because we're not out in the county and we don't live in the county. We don't operate in the county. Well, it doesn't really matter. We're all in this together, and drugs are everywhere. And if they're in the county, they're going to make their way into the city. And we need to do whatever we can to step up and support the sheriff's department's need right now. And they need us to help them raise the funds for these dogs. And I just know that having those dogs is going to make a tremendous difference in our county and our city. And we also support our local law enforcement, the police departments, of course, because whatever happens in the city can trickle out into the county. So we're all, again, we're in this together. So if you're a business that has not donated and you're in the Montgomery County area, we just encourage you to consider giving. If you're an individual and you want to back the blue, we again encourage you to give. There's no small amount. So if you give $10, if you give $25, if you write a check for $100. If you're a business and you want to donate $100, $500, $1,000, we've had one donor that donated $5,000.
Wow.
And you mentioned Dairy Queen. So he came in right after First Friday, donated that first 10% of the first dog, which was $1,400. And thanks to Brent and Dorothy Littleton's generosity and their spark of, you know, their encouragement to generate some sparks in everyone else, they have raised $16,000. So that's enough to get the first dog. And we're going to continue the race in hopes that we can reach that marker of 24 so that we can get both those dogs and go to work on helping them keep us safe and keeping drugs out of our area.
So, no, that's amazing. Great job by the community to able to raise that money able to get the first dog and now working on getting the second dog.
Yeah, and it's a great way of it's a great representation on how the community steps up and gives back. So when we talk about things that fall outside of the scope of city and county budgets, our park and zoo in Independence really falls within that same category. And this morning, I'm super excited because I brought with me Angela Anthony, and she is a new name and face to the park and zoo because she is the new park and zoo director. She took the position of Barb Berskins. So Barb retired after lots of years at the park, did an amazing job, and we're super sad that we're going to miss seeing her out at the park and the zoo, but I still think we're going to see her because she loves that place and she's still going to be there. But we're very fortunate that the city hired a great person to take that position, and we had a FOREPAWS meeting last week, and we were sitting around, and someone's probably on the radio going, what in the world is FOREPAWS? What word did she just say? And FOURPAWS is an acronym for Friends of Riverside Park and Zoo, and it was established in 1976, and it too came about because there were needs out at the park and zoo that fell beyond the scope of the city budget. And so FOURPAWS is a membership organization, a way for you to join and be able to give back, just like we're giving back to Backing the Blue. You can give back to the park and the zoo by joining FOURPAWS. And the way that you do that is you go to FOURPAWS.com and you'll read all about FOURPAWS. And then there's a little spot where you can click and go into a membership application. But membership costs like $25 for an individual or family. I think business memberships are around $100. You can do patron memberships, lifetime memberships. And again, it's just a great way to be able to give back because they use those funds to do all the super cool things in the park, like park opening. That's a huge gift that they give to the community, to the region, completely free. And we bring lots of people into town on that day. So that's definitely an economy driver. They do renovations to the train, the carousel. They did a huge renovation to the park, to the fountain. You know, those things don't just happen and they don't just stay beautiful. It takes a lot of time and effort and money. And FOURPAWS needs our help. So I'm here this morning with Angela because I wanted to get her on the air so that she could talk about some of the things that she is working towards at the park and the zoo. And then I wanted to just give a shout out to FOURPAWS so that everyone might consider thoughtfully and generously giving to the cause so that we can continue to make the park and the zoo the city gem that it is. It is just not a likely thing to have a park and a zoo in your community, number one, and number two, to have one that is completely free. And number three, as you and I have talked about, one where you can ride the train, the carousel, and play miniature golf for $2.55.
Yeah, I take my kids, you know, I've told you that. I've taken my kids out there plenty of times. They have a blast every time we go out there. And I think, we saw you at one of the movie nights as well and had my kids out there. We were just having a blast. We were out there, I think, a good 4 or 5 hours that day, just checking out the zoo, checking out the park, rode the carousel, rode the train, and then watched the movie that night. We just had a blast that night, and it's always a good time when we get to go up there. So we'll go ahead and introduce our guest with us is Angela Anthony. And good morning, Angela. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, it's good to see you, and welcome. First time being on the air here. So for people that are not familiar with you, just tell a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I took over, as Lisa was saying, from Barb whenever she retired as the new director out there at the park zoo. And let's not forget our cemetery out there as well. So I come originally from Tennessee, and I've had a lot of different adventures in my life. So I've served as an Army medic. I've been a federal park ranger. I've taught college. I've taught high school. So a lot of different things. And I think that my background and the experiences that I have are really going to help me take the park and the zoo and the cemetery to the next level.
And we welcome you here. So just kind of let us know what's kind of going on at the Park Zoo right now.
Sure. So the main thing right now is that if you're not following us on social media, on Facebook especially, you're really missing out. This past weekend, our resident fallow deer, Bucky, he started his weekly weekend weather report. So he's going to be doing that on either Thursday or Friday each week, where he kind of gives the citizens of the community a little update as to any weather that's going to be out there, whether or not it's going to be, you know, warm to come out and see us or a little cold and rainy. And then also he'll give a little blurb as well about any events that might be going on. Another thing that we're going to be doing in upcoming weeks is that one thing that I mentioned during First Friday when Lisa had me on a couple of weeks ago was the idea of letting people in the community get to know not only the animals a little bit better, but also the staff as well. And so we're going to be doing, starting on Mondays here in a few weeks, a Meet the Staff, where there's going to be a little piece, a little video from each of our staff members, and they're going to talk a little bit about themselves and then what they do out at the park, zoo, and the cemetery, and their favorite animals. So look forward to that. We'll be rolling that out pretty soon.
All right, extremely excited to be able to meet the staff, to meet the people that kind of drive that park and help keep it going, pretty much for the community.
Exactly. Yes.
So again, that is coming up here pretty soon. But of course, other events will be coming up a little bit later on, once it starts warming up. Obviously, it's kind of cold to be out there right now, let's be honest. But what are some kind of things we're looking off at in the future?
So right now, so we're still setting up what we're going to be doing for park opening, but that date will be April 10th as of right now. But we just want the community to stay flexible with us. Of course, with COVID still ongoing, we're not sure exactly what all that we'll be able to offer the community, but we will have something out there on April 10th for everybody to come out and see us. We're using this time during COVID right now to update some of our programs. So our educational programs are something that we're looking at updating so that whenever we're being able to be more invited into the schools, for example, or have schools bring students out to field trips, that we'll have more of an inclusive event for them and be able to offer more for them to come out and do as well. So be on the lookout for that as well.
So, that's always a big thing every year is the park opening. Lots of, obviously it'll have to be a little different than years past because of COVID. But again, it usually brings a pretty decent crowd, does it not, Lisa and also Angela?
Absolutely. Hundreds of people are out in that park and zoo that day. So it's a great gift, again, that our city gives to the area kids and families. And again, it's no cost. And so,
and that's the best part. I mean, and like you said, even when you put in the carousel and the train ride and the mini golf, it's still under like five bucks a person. I mean, for all that stuff, it's so much fun out there. And the best part is in the park area, it's very shaded. So if it's really hot outside, you can go to that shaded area. The kids can still play and you're not having to sit out burning up outside when it gets 100 degrees outside.
That's right. And one of the things that talking to Angela and listening to her speak that I think is really neat is the fact that they're working hard to get all this information out on social media. That's the most affordable way that we can share all of the great information that's happening out there. And information about all the animals, the types of animals, and all the educational information that she's pushing out, because I think that's really an area that we have an opportunity to grow in our park and make it, again, an educational experience for people to bring people out to the park. So it's not only just a family experience, but it's a way to connect the schools. Again, as she just mentioned, when we get out of this situation where we can really bring that education into the schools and then bring those kids out to the park. So, and I think it's cool because she's always talking about, and I have to ask you, like, Angela, tell us what's the best kept secret about the park. I mean, like, what's something behind the scenes that we don't know about these animals?
So one of the things, and a lot of people will ask us, how much of something does it take to feed the animals? So for the monkeys, for example, we've got 10 capuchin monkeys that are out there and then 2 spider monkeys. And so in a week's time, we go through 175 bananas to feed just the monkeys.
They love bananas, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, and usually, man, when they're out and about, man, the one of the times I was out there, I think we stayed there at the Monkey Island for like 30 minutes because my kids just were, they were swinging all over. They were active that day. They were just all over the place, and I've seen sometimes where they'll have like something beside them. I guess it was food or something like that. They just kind of look around and then take another bite. But again, at Monkey Island is probably my favorite part of the entire thing. And also the other cool thing is seeing, of course, the mountain lion. He loves that area and kind of goes back and forth and then comes up to the front and then it'll kind of climb back up. And what I like about the enclosure, it's not just flat. It's kind of a hilly area for them to climb along, which is kind of like what mountain lions do. They kind of like that area. Obviously, that's how they got the name mountain lion.
Have you taken the boys through the one way to look at Tommy the elk?
Oh, yeah. We went through one time. You're talking about the drive-thru portion,
right?
Correct? Well, we were in there one time when the elk were there, and there was something else in there, and they weren't getting into a fight, but they were not one was not happy with the other. It was an elk, and I can't remember what the other animal was in there, but they weren't happy with each other. We were like, what's going to happen here? And then one just kind of said, no, I'm done. And he turned around and walked off. He's like, I'm done with this.
Well, it's a beautiful place to walk and to drive through. Mm-hmm. As we've talked about being in the middle of COVID and, we've spent a lot of time out there walking, through the one way and around the oval area, trying to spend time actually with my mom when we can't get together and be in each other's homes, but we can meet out at the park and we can walk around the oval and we can walk through the one way. And when this started back in March, Tommy did not have any antlers at all. And so we've watched them. I mean, they're huge. I don't even know how he keeps his head up right now. And you just think about from that time from March until now and the
growing
antlers,
up.
Yeah, most definitely. So it's something to check out. But I'm so excited because we were talking about the educational piece of it too. And I need to get together with Angela because I know that she knows this, but I'm going to put it out on the airwaves because there might be some people that don't. I want to get with her and visit with her because one of the things that is really amazing about our park and zoo is the piece of national history and world history. So the American piece of history would be that the first night-lighted game in organized baseball history took place in Independence, Kansas. And Mickey Mantle got his first, his professional career start in baseball. And I think legend has it that he hit his first career home run in the stadium and potentially might have even bounced off of Monkey Island. So, which ties it all together because we have world history with the fact that, when she was talking about the Capuchin monkeys, there was a rhesus monkey that along with Miss Baker. So the rhesus monkey was Miss Abel and was shot into space. And then not only shot into space because a lot of animals were, but came back to the earth alive, which helped pave the way for human space travel. And not many communities, again, can say they have a park and a zoo. And if they do have a zoo, can't say that they have a monkey that is on display at the Smithsonian commemorating that piece of history. So from a tourism perspective, we're really excited to visit with Angela and build a relationship with the park and the zoo so that we can continue to push that information out and make people aware of the history that is actually in our park and zoo.
Absolutely. And we're going to start wrapping up here in just a second. But Angela, if anybody would like to get a hold of you, if they have any questions about the park zoo, how can they get a hold of you?
So they have a couple of different options. We have our direct line, and so that's 620-330-2512. And they can also call City Hall. If they go through the computerized system that's there, they have an option to be able to punch a number, and then it'll shoot them out there to the park and zoo. They can also reach out to us on Facebook as well. And then one of the things that I love about the community so much is that our office that's there at the park and zoo, the little rock building that serves, that's right there beside the playground. If you come into there, that's where our office is. And so we have a lot of people that in the community that just stop in and come in and say hi and introduce themselves. And so they're more than welcome to do that as well.
All right. And Lisa, if anybody has any questions about the things you've talked about today, how can they get a hold of you?
They can always give us a call at the chamber office, 331-1890. They can look us up on Facebook. It's Get Independence. They can go to our website. They'll see all of the flyers about all of the events that we have talked about and more that are listed on there. There will be a calendar page that will talk about everything that's listed. And then I just want to remind everyone that you can contact Angela if you'd like to have her come speak to your organization. She's been out and about at Rotary and some other civic organizations, so we want to help her get out and meet people and spread lots of good information about the park and the zoo. And then also remember to join Four Paws by going to fourpaws.com, looking for that membership application. Your $25, my $25, and everyone else's will make a huge difference out in the park and the zoo so that we can continue to be able to have all of these things available to not only the people who live in Montgomery County, but the people who come and visit as well.
Absolutely. So again, be sure to head to those websites or give them a call. So ladies, thank you so much for coming in today. We really do appreciate it. And Lisa, we'll talk to you again next week.
I'll be back. Thank you.
All right. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we'll have news at the top of the hour. And then we'll have open lines starting at around 9:10. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.